is the Employment Law Show.
Alrighty, we are set to go, and good evening. John Scholes here, and joining me momentarily, Mackenzie Irwin, Samfiru Tamarkin is where she hides out, does all the good work that you've come to expect from that particular firm, stlawyers.ca, to reach out, 1-855-821-5900. Anytime we're not doing the show, Mackenzie is available at that the number. Email help@employmentlawyer.ca as well. It could be a basic severance question, could be a constructive dismissal question. Maybe you got a boss who's being a pain in the butt. Maybe you are the boss. I don't know. Call us. That's the whole point over the next half hour, is to get on live with us here on air and ask your questions. Save yourself some time and some headache. Again, 416-870-6400 and 1-888-225-TALK. Main topic momentarily as we roll on will be most common constructive dismissals and how to spot them. And all that going on as well, plus the week that was, the case of the day. Mackenzie, my pal, what do you got going on this week?
Yeah, so I spoke with a gentleman this week. He's in his 50s. He was working for his company for about 6 years, and he was working as a supervisor. It's a flooring company, so he supervised a team of installers that worked underneath him. And now, at the beginning of 2024... this gentleman asked his employer if he could switch to contractor status. His employer agreed, and they switched over from paying him as an employee with the T4 and everything to paying him through a corporation. The interesting thing here is that when they made this transition, they paid him the same monthly rate. So he was paid once a month when he was an employee. He's paid the once a month when he was a contractor. He worked the same full-time hours. And the only thing that really changed was that instead of paying him as an employee, they paid him directly to his corporation.
Right.
So there wasn't anything substantially changed. So he didn't really, you know, he didn't invoice the employer. He just received these regular monthly payments. Instead of paying him personally, they're paying him through his corporation. Now, more recently, he had a disagreement with his employer, and his employer decided to terminate his employment. This was at the end of June, and so since then, the employer is actually refusing to pay him for, number one, for the work that he performed in the month of June. And then also refusing to pay him severance. And he's saying, oh, because you're a contractor, you're not entitled to severance. Now, this brought two main issues up that I really think is important that people understand about when you're an independent contractor and an employee. And then the separate issue of unpaid wages. So in terms of the unpaid wages, so he worked for the whole month of June. And his employer usually pays him at the end of the month for the month's work. And he was refusing to pay him for the work performed in the month of June. That this gentleman is entitled to be, and all workers are entitled to be paid for all of the hours that you work. There's you're also entitled to be paid overtime hours for any hours that you work over 44 hours in a given week. And that should be paid out at time and a half. That's for employees. So I think it's important that everyone kind of understands that it's always good practice to make sure that you're keeping diligent and independent records of the hours that you work. There's a few reasons why that's important, because if you're found in a situation like this and you've been using your company's, let's say your company uses a, you know, time in, time out system, you may lose access to that system. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, timing in and timing out and using your company's system properly and accurately. But you also want to make sure that you're kind of keeping a diligent and independent record for yourself, just in case your access to that system gets cut off. The other thing you want to make sure that you're doing as good practice is informing your company if you're working more than 44 hours in a given week. Mm-hmm. That's pretty important, because you need to be, number one, you need to make sure that you're, you know, you have to tell your employer, and so that your employer can ensure that you're properly compensated for the overtime hours that you're working. And it's also super important because If your employer doesn't know that you're working all these additional hours, how are they, first of all, how are they going to know that they need to pay you? But how are they need to be aware of the fact that you're working this extensive hours. Your company can then hopefully adjust your workload if they need to, if they're not comfortable with paying you, regularly paying you these overtime hours. So number one, this gentleman is absolutely entitled to be compensated for the work that he performed in June, and so certainly I'll help him ensure that his company is paying him for that. The other issue that this brought up is the classic independent contractor versus employee debacle. Certainly, in this gentleman's situation, even though he requested to switch from the employee to independent contractor status, and at the time, at the beginning of 2024, he did actually sign an independent contractor agreement that says, "I am an independent contractor." Even though he did those two things, he's still entitled to severance for the termination of his employment. And I think it's really important because a lot of people think, oh, you know what? I signed an independent contractor agreement. My independent contractor agreement says that my employer can let me go at any time or whatever it says in the agreement. And I'm not an employee, so I'm not entitled to severance. And that's simply not true for the vast majority of cases. The vast majority of people who come to me, and they've been labeled as an independent contractor, they're not actually an independent contractor. They're likely an employee. This gentleman, for example, he works 100% for the one company. This company dictates where and when and how he performs his work. They provide him with the tools to perform his work, including a company truck and all of the flooring materials. And the company paid him on a regular pay schedule with a set rate that didn't change. It didn't change depending on, the number of jobs he completed in a given day, or what have you. So he's absolutely entitled to severance, and he's entitled to severance on the basis of the total 6 years of service that he's been working for them. So he's likely entitled to, I would say, up to 12 months of severance. And he's also owed the 1 month of unpaid wages. So I'm certainly going to help him pursue that. But I think, the key here is that it's really important to understand if you signed an independent contractor agreement, and even if you were the one who instigated the request to switch to independent contractor status, you're likely still entitled to that severance when your employment ends. And so it's certainly well worth reaching out and discussing your situation with me, so that because if you don't, you could really be walking away from a significant severance package.
Hey, good start. I want to get into a quick call here before we take a short break. Jamie, thank you for taking the time to make the call. How are you?
I'm not doing so good. So basically, with my situation, I've not been getting hardly any hours. So I've been calling my employer about work, and he's saying for the most part it's been very, very slow. I work in a car wash auto bay, and business has been going down really, really bad. It's been taking a turn, and the fact that I'm not getting hours to cover the bills, it's causing me a lot of anxiety. Just that, and the fact that I'm not getting stable work like I used to because business has been taking a cut. Can my employer cut my hours if business is slow because he's not getting a lot of revenue coming in?
So no, certainly this is something that is absolutely w venturing into the constructive dismissal territory. If your employer can't unilaterally cut back your hours, if you've regularly been working, let's say 40 hours per week, your employer is not entitled to decide that they're all of a sudden going to cut your hours to, it sounds like they're not giving you any hours. So,
No, they're not. Like no, like
yes.
last week I only worked like 7 hours.
So,
So, I mean,
Yeah, certainly, Jamie. I think it's something that we should connect offline on. But this is very likely a constructive dismissal, and it's something
Okay.
that you can be entitled to severance for.
Yes, it's driving me a lot of problems with my mental health, so there's a lot of anxiety components to this. And I need, and it's not something like it's been causing me, even like my livelihood has been affected, and just surviving can make anyone feel anxious. And I'm just trying to work around this so I can get, my hours back. And
Yeah, so yeah, Jamie, I mean, certainly, especially in this economy, having your hours cut back significantly obviously is going to cause a lot of stress, a lot of financial stress. So certainly, please, I think we should absolutely connect offline, and we can kind of delve into your situation in more detail, and provide you with your options.
Jamie, thanks for the call, pal. I'll give you the numbers on the other side. In the meantime, we'll take a short break here. Our one and only break. Tuesday edition, Employment Law Show continues. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
You bet. We're back, 6:45. Plenty of time to go. And that would be Mackenzie Irwin to reach out to after the show if you want to discuss more of a private matter. The number, 1-855-821-5900, help at employmentlawyer.ca. And the go-to website, we tell you every night, it's pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. That's good because it covers a lot of what we talk about live here on air every night of the week. And you can use it on your own time. Plus, you'll have access to our severance calculator, which is free. It's anonymous. It'll give you an accurate number of what your severance should be. Even if you don't necessarily need it and you're in dire straits in that regard, you just want to find out, hey, if I ever get let go, what would I be owed? Pocketemploymentlawyer.ca, and the severance calculator is the one to use. Okay, we're talking about constructive dismissals, how to spot the most common. First of all, a lot of people, confusion between constructive dismissal, wrongful dismissal. What is, Mackenzie, a constructive dismissal? Break it down.
Yeah, so it is often confused with wrongful dismissal. So constructive dismissal is a unique area of employment law. It's when your employer has made a significant change to the terms of your employment without your agreement. It's such a significant change that as an employee, you can treat that change as though the company has actually terminated your employment, and you can pursue your severance. So it's things like substantial changes. So it's not just a little tweak here or there. Your employer is allowed to make certain changes, reasonable changes to the terms of your employment, but the constructive dismissal comes when the change that the employer is making is fairly substantial.
We get a lot more of that, a calling, or at least more to talk about in that regard, Mackenzie, but the calls keep coming. We love it. Cam, thanks for taking the time. Good evening. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Good, brother. What's on your mind?
I just had a question. I'm telling the screener. Well, my friend, he's tried to call, so I called for him. He's working at a company, a manufacturing company that made car parts for like about 10 years, and they were starting to let go employees like after COVID was ending, and he recently got released from his position like last month, and we were wondering, what does he get severance pay for working for so long with the company?
Yes, absolutely. So, all employees in Ontario who've been let go, are entitled to severance. And if you've been working for your company for 10 years, that's going to be a significant severance package that he's owed. Unless, I guess the caveat to that is unless your employer has cause to terminate your friend's employment. But it doesn't sound like they're alleging that that he did anything wrong. So yes, absolutely, your friend is entitled to severance and a significant severance package if he's been working there for 10 years.
Okay, I had another question.
Sure.
See, for like delivery, I deliver for a living, and I was wondering if somewhere is too far to drive, can I tell my employer like it's too far, like I don't want to do this?
I mean, that's going to depend on the terms of your employment with your company. Is it something like, is there a delivery, like a geographic scope of where your deliveries are supposed to be assigned?
Most of them are within GTA, but sometimes we have a delivery out in Collingwood, and I deliver from downtown, and like recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, recently with this weather and sometimes, and just with the traffic on Gardner, sometimes it's hell to get in and out, back and forth from downtown area. So I was just wondering, could I tell my employer, like, I don't want to do that? It's too far.
So Cam, there's nothing stopping you from having a conversation with your manager or your boss, bringing these concerns that you have with these extra long delivery routes to their attention and seeing if they'll address it. What's gonna, you know, the real issue here is, okay, if you refuse to make a delivery to a certain just to Collingwood, for example, is it the case, like, are you paid hourly, like, are you paid per delivery? Is it
hourly?
You're paid hourly, so then I'm assuming that they pay you for the, you know, 2.5 hours that when you do it, when you do drive all the way to Collingwood to make a delivery, is that correct?
Yeah,
so I mean, there's in terms of the concerns that you have with the longer deliveries, is it more of you know, is it wear and tear on your car? Is there something, what are the major concerns?
Sorry, it's more on my body for sitting for so long, because I still have to drive home too, right? So being 4 hours just to go there and back, sometimes my leg goes numb. Sometimes I have to come out the car and take an hour break so I can get some feeling back, right? So I was just wondering sometimes if I can tell my employer, like, make somebody else do it, or can I not do it, or just give me that one route and I don't deliver anything else. But I was just wondering if that would be a problem if I asked, or would it make things kind of I'm losing my track here.
No worries, Cam. Yeah, so Cam, what I think you should do, and particularly if these longer routes are impacting your health, my suggestion is that you go, you speak with your doctor about that. If your legs are going numb on these longer routes, it sounds like you know, it's impacting your health. So if you go to your doctor and get a medical note saying that you can't be doing these longer routes any longer, and provide that to your employer, that's something that certainly your employer will have to pay attention to and address. And that likely will mean that your employer will need to accommodate your health with making sure that you're assigned the shorter routes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Cam. Appreciate it, pal. And if you want to reach out further and talk in any more detail to Mackenzie, you always have the option, man. 1-855-821-5900. I want to get back for a little bit with the next few minutes, Mackenzie, with our discussion about constructive dismissal. Very important. We detailed what it is. Now, what do you do if you think, based on what you said before and based on what you've heard on the show before, of course, if you're listening, what do you do if you think you're being constructively dismissed? What's the process?
Yeah, so this is something that I think is really important, that if you think you've been constructively dismissed and what your employer is doing is a constructive dismissal, it's really important that you speak with an employment lawyer, someone from our team, before you take any action. And the reason for that is that we can review your situation in more detail, determine whether what's happening, the change your employer is imposing, is truly a constructive dismissal, and then help you navigate the situation in the background. And the reason, so let's say your employer has made a change and you think it's a substantial change, you think it's a constructive dismissal. What you need to do right away is speak up. You need to let your employer know that you don't agree with the change. It's important that you speak up in writing. So best practice is really to send your manager or your HR rep an email outlining the change that they're making, what your concerns are with that change, and the fact that you are not agreeing to that change and requesting that they reverse the change. That piece of communication is so key, because if you don't have something in writing, or you haven't expressed that you do not agree with the change, the longer that you work underneath that change, under those change conditions, the more likely it is that your employer is going to say, oh, well, you agreed to this change simply by continuing to work under those change conditions. So that's why it's so important to speak up right away. The other thing that it's important that you do is, you know, you need to speak with someone, with an employment lawyer, before you quit, because if you quit prematurely, you may be giving up your rights to severance. So if you quit, if you voluntarily, it's a voluntary resignation, you're not entitled to severance. But if you're quitting because you think you've been constructively dismissed, and you do it before, you know, maybe before the change has taken place, before you've spoken with a lawyer, you could be giving up your right to any severance.
What a situation, like your employers reduce your pay without your consent, even if it's a little bit, is there a threshold?
Yeah, so that is one of the most common, forms of constructive dismissal that I see. So there's probably no term that's more integral or more important to your employment than the agreement that your company will pay you X for Y amount of work. That's like the basics of employment contracts. But certainly when your employer is reducing your pay, the reduction, in order for it to be a constructive dismissal, the reduction has to be fairly substantial. It can't be a minor adjustment. So sometimes I get people calling me who think they've been constructively dismissed, and their employer's really only kind of tweaked it from, I don't know, maybe you're getting 40 hours per week to 37 hours per week. And it's really a very, very minor change, or 39 hours per week. It's a minor change. It's not a substantial impact to your overall compensation. However, there are often people calling me when their employer's making the change their employer's making has reduced their pay by you know, upwards of 30%. So there's no hard and fast line. It's not black and white. It's more of a gray area, but certainly it needs to be more than, you know, a percent of change, and upwards of 30% in the 30% range, then you're getting into that constructive dismissal range.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, if you've gone, your employer says, oh, we're going from straight pay to commission, or we're going to do it half and half. I mean, these things got to be considered going forward as well. But again, so much more to discuss, but we're running up against the clock. Again, I want to remind you one more time before we split, you can always reach out to Mackenzie on your own time and have that discussion. The number is, one more time, 1-855-821-5900. Email help@employmentlawyer.ca. And the website one more time as well. That's pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We'll do it again tomorrow night at 6:30. So get your questions ready. We'll be back with you for another half hour right here in the Employment Show. Until then, enjoy the rest of your evening. Talk Wednesday.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.